In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, when I saw what the gospel was for today, I immediately thought about all the venom that's been posted on Facebook recently. No holds seem to be barred. You can say what you like. You can be as abusive as you like. You can ridicule. You can denigrate anybody you like. And it seems that you, from the safety of being behind your screen, can do that. So that sprang to mind, first of all, when I read the gospel for today. But then, looking at it theologically, as well as in a life meaning kind of way, I thought, you know, there's tremendous learning in this from the context of the day that Jesus was writing in. Because what he is going on about is flaunting the traditions of the day. I'll come back to that in a moment. There's a lovely story about Thomas Jefferson. He was recently the new president of the United States, and he was riding with his men, his escort, and he reached a river, and there was a man standing, hoping to be taken across the river by somebody. And the man looked at each of the people in this escort, and he looked, his eyes lighted on Thomas Jefferson, and he asked him to take him across. And so Thomas Jefferson reached down, pulled him up, and led him across the river. When he got down from Jefferson's horse, the escort turned to him and said, "What do you think you're doing? Don't you know he is the president of the United States? I had no business asking him to take you across the river." And the man said, "Well, I didn't know who he was, but I looked into everyone's eyes and I saw no. I looked into his eyes and I saw yes. And that's why I asked him." There was something in Jesus that made the Canaanite woman know that she should ask for help. He's just had a rather pointed exchange with the Pharisees, of course, his favourite sparring partners. And it had gone this way. "You Pharisees, your role is to uphold the Jewish laws in all their aspects. And that, of course, includes the purity laws. But you know what? Important as the purity laws are, which include what you eat, how you eat it, and all the kosher regulations that are still observed today," then he was saying to them, "But is there more to it than that? Are you all about the regulations and not about the heart?" When I was serving in the South, in Alabama, there was a saying often said, which was, "It don't mean nothing if your heart ain't right." That's what he was saying to the Pharisees. Are you all about the regulations and not about what's going on in your hearts, about what's right? Jesus, of course, represented radicalism. The Pharisees represented the establishment. And he liked to shake them up a bit. Well, quite a lot, actually. Which leads on to the other people who were giving him a hard time today. The disciples so often let him down. They mistake their role. They often think that they're there to be his minder. Rather like a rock star leads minders. "Keep these people away, there's 5,000 of them, they need feeding. Send them away to find some food." "No," Jesus said, "I'll sit them down, I'll see them right." And that was the great miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And this week, who do we have? The lowest of the low, a Canaanite woman. Absolutely the lowest of the low. First of all, a woman. a widow, a pagan, foreign, Canaanite, Syrophoenician, another word. And best of all, she's got a crazy daughter. And in the culture of the day, that meant she was cursed. You don't want anything to do with someone who's got a crazy daughter. That's why her daughter's crazy, because she's cursed. So the disciples say, send her away. You don't want anything to do with her. But Jesus never sent anyone away. Note that. And note that he never sends women away. Women who always get the bad deal and still get the bad deal. Do you know, those of you who've been to England and have ever been to that great Norman cathedral in the north, Durham Cathedral, great cathedral, St. Bede, St. Cuthbert, are all buried there. Built in the 11th century, 1100 years after Jesus lived. And there you will see, embedded in the floor, the marble floor, a black line that goes throughout the cathedral, beyond which are the tombs of these great saints. Why was that black line embedded in the marble floor? It meant women can go no further than this line. Women are not good enough to go and give reverence to those saints. Women have to keep this side of the line. Reminds me when I used to work in South Africa, and I'm afraid redolent of history here. Whites only, blacks only, all that kind of thing. Women have always been undervalued. And here was this woman today, marginalized, despised. What does she do? Rather like those stories you hear of a woman whose child is run over by a car, and she has this superhuman strength that she lifts the car that's pinning down her child. A superhuman maternal primordial power. Jesus recognizes that. What does she do? Do you remember the woman afflicted with the issue of blood? She knows she's not going to get beyond the minders. She's a woman, she's old, she's bleeding. The apostles will send her away. What does she do? She reaches out, she touches the hem of his garment, and he notices. Your faith has made you whole, he said to her. And this one today, this Canaanite woman, desperate with the love of her daughter, totally shunned by society. She's so used to being reviled, but the thing about her is she persists. She doesn't give up. But then the shocking thing is Jesus is rude to her. Talks about, feeding dogs and all that. It's not like him. Is he so worn down by all that he's doing that he's at the end of his tether for that day that he too can't be bothered with this woman? No, here's what I believe was going on. I believe Jesus put on the mask of ugliness, if you like, and prejudice, to show that we're all capable of that and to show how wrong it is. To show that to the Pharisees and to the apostles. And to show it to us. Jesus always aligned himself with the marginalized. Where does that leave us? What's the learning for us? Where do we find the marginalized, and how do we align ourselves with them? There are plenty of them around. Beggar kids in South America, routinely rounded up and never heard of again. Albinos in Africa, regarded as freaks of nature, cursed. Women being trafficked all over the place today, even in our own countries. That's a lesson for us, isn't it? Where do we see people marginalized? Have you been marginalized? I know I have, as a woman priest, had a very rough time. You can be marginalized in so many ways. And how do we deal with it ourselves? Well, the lesson, I think, is that we persist. We persist in what we believe to be right and what we believe that God is with us when we persist in it. The Pharisees, they were all about religious observances. What do? We come to church, we do all the right things. Are our hearts right beyond being in the church? Because I think that what Jesus was about in that story today was telling us we must live in the spirit of love and kindness in all that we do and in all that we say. Our hearts must be right. Amen.